fighting for America.
We always hear that we're a nation of laws, but it turns out we're only a nation of laws when it suits our federal overlords. You know, they like to pick and choose what laws they're going to enforce.
Fighting for Idaho.
Let me go.
Anonymous sources say Bo Bergdahl's captors are eager to make a deal to release him, but they don't know who in the U.S. government has the authority to make that happen.
Fighting for you.
Those of us that are not being held hostage, those of us that are free to say so, should push the envelope just as far as we can to seek peaceful release and quick release of anybody that's being held hostage.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
That's what it's about, my friends.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning. It is K. Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. We're joined by one of our favorite people, certainly someone who is very courageous, very religious, an example of Christianity, an example of sacrifice. I think about her and her husband and her family all the time. We pray for them. Nagma Abedini joins us this morning. Nagma, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
Good to have you with us here at 580 KIDO. And before we get rolling, we're going to have the governor on, and I saw your Facebook post, and what I'm going to do is we're going to record this, and just to, if you would like to ask the governor something here, we'll play it for him at 8 o'clock this morning. So if you have anything for Governor Otter, please say so right now.
I did see your Facebook post, and I would like Governor Otter to know that I would appreciate any efforts he can do to speak out on Saeed to bring more awareness. I know that he deals with internal issues, and this has to do with the State Department, but anything he can say will bring attention to the president, and anything he can do to, I know he released a statement early on last year or so, but the more he can do, the better, and I would appreciate that.
You made a statement that when governors speak, presidents listen.
You know, they do. The president's take a note, and that's why early on I asked Governor Otter to do more, and the office has kind of been more silent because they've said it's not something they would normally comment on. It's more of a issue that the State Department or senators would be more involved with. But you know, I do think there's more that the governor can do, and because they do have a powerful voice, and it does get to the president, and it does push the president to do more. So the more we can, anything we can do at this point. I'm trying to get my husband home, and he's now in the hospital because of beatings earlier on during his time in the prison. And so we're trying to get him home and released and treated here in the U.S. And so anything that we can do to get him home, if it's the governor speaking out, if, you know, our senators and Congress have been great, but anything, you know, anything that can be done to bring more attention to our president and to Saeed's case would be great.
Well, and I know we're not going to go in depth, but you were traveling. I just wondered if you were home for Easter.
I was traveling. I was trying to be home for Easter, so I barely made it. It wasn't much of a Easter celebration because I was gone, but we did have one. Saeed always made it a big, big event, and we missed that. We missed having him. But it's been traveling nonstop. I travel in a few days to Philadelphia. I just traveled to Europe efforts for Saeed, bringing more awareness in Europe. And it was a great trip, and I will continue to travel and do what I can until my husband's home.
Boy, that is by the grace of God. I get all wigged out if I go to Philadelphia. I couldn't imagine going to Europe or any of these other places.
Yeah, it's difficult. I don't like airplanes, and it was a long ride to to Europe, and I get sick, but I think about my kids and I think about my husband, and I hope every trip makes a difference. And it did. It was a great trip, and there's a lot of support in Europe, and which is great, a lot of support. And so it's just good to see that, good to see the whole world speaking out and saying this is not right. This is a human rights issue, and Saeed should be freed.
Nagmay Nabedini joining us. Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580KIDO. Talk a little bit about Easter with you and your family. How was that?
You know, I made it just the day before, and I was on jet lag. But it was good. Usually I shared a video with Saeed. Usually he does a big project. Easter is a big deal. We, the kids, you know, the week following up to it, he prepares them. And last time they made a big cross. And he explained the whole message of Good Friday and Easter to them. But this year was good. We did a game. We went to church. We did a Easter hunt game just with me and the kids and a friend. And it was pretty mellow. His lack of presence is definitely noticed, and we talk about him, and we kept watching that video. Jacob was, they were very young in that time, and we kept watching that video of him teaching the kids about Easter. But it's painful. It's a good celebration. It's always a happy celebration for our family, because of what Jesus did on the cross and the peace we can get and the relationship we have because of that. But at the same time, it's painful because my husband's missing, their daddy's missing.
Well, are you worried about their children just, you know, because they were very young and they've seen the videos, but losing that relationship with their father currently?
They do. You know, I am worried about that. It's almost going on third birthdays without him, and they're so young. It's three birthdays for a six-year-old or, you know, seven-year-old was a lot. They were toddlers when they last saw him. And we talk about him. We watch movies, home videos. We have pictures. I share memories of what it was like when they were smaller and what we would do. So we try, but the reality is he hasn't been in their life for almost half their life now. And that's painful.
Nagmay, as we continue on here, has there been any progress?
It's the Iranian government, so there's been a lot of pressure, I can say that, not just from our government has done. I hope that we can do more from here, but there's been a lot of pressure from a lot of different countries. There was a petition, for example, in the Netherlands, and there was 25,000 signatures by the Dutch people. But the government has, they're just different governments have been very involved, and so there's been a lot of different pressures. But it's the Iranian government. Ultimately, we don't know what all of this means and what Iran will do. And so, I hope in God and trust in God and hope for a soon release. But in terms of, tangent things, it's the Iranian government. We never know. We never know what they're going to do.
Now, were you surprised that Saeed got to issue a prayer, a statement on Easter?
Well, he sees his family, so they get to visit him at the hospital. So he was able to get a letter, and that's been a lot of ways I've been able to communicate with him. So I didn't know if he was going to release a letter for Easter, but his parents were able to get that to me, and I think it was great. I think it was great that he did that. I didn't expect it, but I think it was really good to get that message out. And I have to say something, that when Saeed was moved from Evin prison to Rajari Shah prison, it was devastating and his health got worse. But I have to say I'm so glad he recently there was such a terror attack in Evin prison, and over 30 prisoners were moved to solitary and there was bloodshed. And I look back to a lot of things that have happened and I'm so thankful. At that time, I questioned why would he have to be moved to Rajari Shah and why he would have to be beaten and be in such a bad condition. But I have to say, recently with the attacks on prisoners, that has been so broken ribs, broken heads, just horrible, horrific in Evin prison. I'm so thankful that he was moved and now he's being treated, not being treated, but at least he's in a hospital. But I'm glad he's there in the hospital and he was able to get a letter out to our family, not to our family, but to everyone. So I think it was a powerful message.
What about the Easter message and what your husband's going through, the correlation there?
I think there's a direct correlation. Usually his Easter messages are very more upbeat. this one had to do a lot with the cross and dying to yourself before experiencing the resurrection, before experiencing a good, you know, what you want in your life, success, I guess, in your family and in work. And you have to have, you have to pay a price. There is the cross, the Good Friday before the resurrection. And I think it was powerful, but I think it's exactly what he's going through. It's a reminder to him that he needs to continually die to himself of wanting to be home, of things he wants, but he can't. He, as a prisoner, he's bound. He's, everything he eats or whatever he does is controlled, so he has to die to himself. And for, you know, so I think it had to do directly with his situation. His letter did, and it's something I was surprised to get from him, but I'm glad he did. He did mention that, because I agree. A lot of times we want a successful marriage, we want a successful family, but we're not willing to be selfless, have a radical selfless love that requires death to the self and putting others first and not wanting everyone and everything serving you. And so I do agree that I like that message. I think it has to do with his situation in prison right now.
How have you changed?
Well, the reality of God has become so clear. It's God has become so real. It's become more than the religion, Christian religion. It's, he is with me every day, and there's no fear of man. I think, you know, a lot of times I've spoken out that I've had a lot of threats from the Iranian government, and there's just no fear, and no fear of airplanes, no fear of anything, and just the reality of God. And we celebrated Easter, and sometimes it can feel like a story, what Jesus did on the cross, and we're forgiven, and he was risen, and a lot of this powerful event in history that's been proven. But to really experience this relationship and to know, no matter if my world falls apart, I'm okay, because there is a truth behind this God and he's real. And that's been amazing. That's been an amazing journey.
Is that a lesson for all of us who go through the motions?
Yes, you can use hard situations in your life. That's what I always share with people. All of us have hard situations, sicknesses, marriages that are falling apart, kids, friends, whatever it is, work, uncertain future, economy, money. Use that to draw close to God and experience him, because he's real. And instead of running away from those difficulties, embrace it and use it to discover more of who God is. And we need to get out of the emotion and really experience what we believe.
More with our friend Nagmeet Abbott.
In your trust every morning, Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning at 580 KIDO. Nagmeet Abedini with us talking about her husband, Pastor Saeed. We pray for Pastor Saeed. We continue to follow her campaign, her quest to bring her husband home, held in Iran against his will. Nagmeet, how has your going public changed the lives of others? We see you on the Facebook. You go to, whether it's the Fox, whether it's the Christian radio stations, you're always meeting people. What's that like for you? Because on one hand, you're there to raise awareness for your husband. On the other hand, you're a person and you meet these people that you wouldn't have met unless this had happened. What's that like?
You know, I've been able to meet people from all over the U.S. and the world and realize we're all the same with the same pains and struggles every day. We all have the same fears, seeing, I guess, for me, the most eye-opening thing has been seeing so much, so many people struggling with so much. And if it's relationships, or if it's finances, or uncertainties, future, about the future, or family falling apart, kids falling apart, and being able to give hope to say that it's okay. You can go through the worst time of your life and still be okay. Because there's a God that you can trust, and he can work everything for good. And there should, you know, you don't have to have a fear of anything. You can have peace and joy in the midst of your worst trials. And to be able to offer that to people who are full of anxiety and worry and depression and don't know what to do, and to offer God to them, offer Jesus to them, and to know that that is the solution has been great. And it's been hard seeing so much struggles all over the U.S. as I've traveled. I will be going to Philadelphia in a couple of days, but we're all the same, and we have all the same struggles. But, you know, in our culture, we're told to not, we don't know how to handle suffering, but my message is to embrace suffering, embrace those struggles, and to find hope and joy and peace in the midst of them.
What's it like for you, having grown into this individual before? You're a mom. We really don't know much about you before your husband was taken from us. What about your own growth?
I've become a different person. I think my husband would be shocked. I lived in a lot of fears of what if this happened to my child? What if this happened to my husband? What the fear of what if really paralyzed me. I dealt with a lot of anxiety and depression, and was afraid to travel, was afraid to do anything, and was a stay-at-home mom. I've become a different person. God has really freed me of things that used to bind me and prevent me from, doing things. And so I've become a really, I've become free, I guess, in a way of a lot of the anxiety and fear, and been able to just let go. And I'm afraid of public speaking, but I've been speaking in front of governments and churches and events. And so I've become a totally different person, and that is just reveals the glory of God, that reveals God, because he can make you into something you've never imagined and use you in a way you could have never imagined. If you just let go of everything and trust him, he can use your life in ways you could have never thought or imagined.
I would imagine, again, that's easier said than done. When your husband comes home, what will that be like for you and your children?
I think it was when he would be gone weeks at a time traveling, he would come home. It required some kind of an adjustment still. And I think it will require, in a way, he's our, you know, my husband and his our father, but in a way, we'll be all strangers to each other. I think it will require a few months at least of this family time and really getting to spend time together. But amazing, our family doesn't feel whole right now without him. So I think just feeling whole again, feeling we're a unit again. But I know we'll have our difficulties as well of trying to, get to know each other and adjust from times of separation.
Now, I mean, what's it been like not only traveling the world, but dealing with the different Christian folks in the Treasure Valley? You know, you got your Catholics, you got your Protestants, you got your LDS, you've got all these folks that maybe they get along or they don't talk, but, I mean, your message is transcending all faiths, really.
You know, and that's the beauty of it. When I've had letters. Recently I received a letter from East Coast from a Catholic school, and it was amazing. So many high schoolers were writing, and the head of the school wrote a introduction letter. And just the beauty, what I've loved more than anything, I guess, in this, has been being in the center of having all these different denominations and churches really come together and seeing the body of Christ. You know, I don't think, as long as you believe in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, forgiveness of sin, and his resurrection, and having that connection with God through Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what denomination you are and what church you are, and that's the beauty of it. I've been able to see the beauty of different, you know, different, I guess, flavors of churches and beliefs. And, you know, a lot of times we draw boundaries and we don't want to come together, but a lot of times I go to cities and there's an event and all, you know, 10 different churches of different denominations come together for that event, and it's beautiful to see that, from very conservative to very liberal. And I love seeing that more than anything, to see those boundaries crossed and everyone coming together and not, you know, realizing that we're really all one.
Now, I mean, anything else you'd like to share with people? Maybe they're having a tough time, and, you know, whether it's their marriage, whether it's their job, whether it's their lack of faith. What would you say to people driving in their cars or doing what you used to do before your life was changed?
You know, I understand what you're feeling, the anxiety that no one can take away, the fear that no one can take away, no matter how many people talk to you or whatever medicine you take, there's a deep, deep worry and anxiety and over your world falling apart. Maybe it's a marriage, maybe it's kids, maybe it's a job you're not sure of, and future and this country and so many things happening. But I want to encourage you that this is a rough diamond in the rough. It's something, the struggle you're going through will lead you in a journey of discovering the most amazing thing you can discover. If you embrace that suffering, embrace those fears, it will take you on a journey of discovering what all of us as humans need to discover, an intimacy with God. That's just the most amazing thing you can discover in your life. So I just encourage you, no one can fix it. I know it. I've had it. I just want to encourage the listeners to use the difficulties to draw into the big questions of life. Where is God? Who is God? And just draw and discover answers they might have never wanted to discover, unless this difficulty has come up. It makes you want to have these questions answered. And I think it will lead you in a journey that you would have never believed, and the most amazing journey. So, and I also want to say thank you, Kevin. I remember the first time we met, and I appreciate your heart. And I know that one of the first people I want, if not the first that I want Saeed to meet once he's in Boise, I want to come straight to your studio and have him meet you. I really appreciate your heart and what you're doing. Thank you.
Well, Nagmaid, please consider our show your show, and we want to, and we're very humbled and we're praying, but whatever we can do, because we're real people. And like I said, and you're moving me to tears here, but whatever we can do, whatever it is, and you have so many friends, but please consider us, along on your journey here in the Treasure Valley, around the world, whatever we can do for you, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you. I consider you a great friend. Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate it.
Take care, ma'am.
God bless.
God bless. Bye-bye. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Sean Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men.
Men, 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 manly men.
Men, 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 manly men.
We are. It is Friday at 580 KIDO, Dave Burnett's favorite day. Mine, not so much, because I wish I could do this 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, talking to you about the issues that impact you. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Kevin.
You're a little down today, aren't you? You're a little naked today, are you not?
I've made a horrible mistake, an absolutely horrible mistake, and I hate it. And I hate the fact that I hate it. I forgot my phone.
I hate the fact that I hate it. Isn't that a double negative?
No, but it's true. I hate the fact that I hate this, but I hate that I forgot my phone, and I feel totally naked, and I keep looking around like, it's got to be here somewhere, isn't it? Oh, it just drives me nuts, and I hate the fact that it's that way. It shouldn't be. Remember the old days where, you know, at one point, the really cool people had pagers, and then you knew somebody was cool because they'd get a beep and look at it and go, look, somebody called me, and then they'd have to go call. But, yeah, I just hate that fact that I'm lost all day now.
Even more so than usual.
Yeah. Yes. Normally I look befuddled and lost, but that's just the way it is. Now I've got a reason to look that way.
I have a story for you.
Yeah.
And it's about credit cards.
Okay.
You're familiar with credit cards, are you not?
Oh, yeah. Trying to get rid of them.
All right. Well, you and me both. So I'm working on paying off this credit card, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have two credit card stories. One was a Chase card. One was Capital One. And
what's in your wallet?
And it's funny because, you know, the ads are so friendly, and I just filled out an online survey about how horrible they were. Mm-hmm. So I actually had one credit card go bad because I didn't pay $20 on it. Now, the fact that they sent it to the wrong address, this was like 8-9 years ago.
But once you did that, then they raised the interest and cut the limit. And
well, no, they canceled the card on me because it was over 6 months, but they kept sending me the statement to the wrong address. Mm-hmm. And I kept telling them that, and they said, well, sorry, we're canceling it now. It goes on your permanent credit record. Mm-hmm. And I said, really? And I said, even though you sent this statement to the wrong address. Sorry, not our fault. So here's how credit card companies have changed. And this is Capital One. So I was looking at booking a trip somewhere. To where? I don't know. Maybe out west somewhere. Maybe to Nevada. Maybe somewhere else. I don't know. So I'm looking to book a trip. So as I'm looking to book a trip, hypothetically, to, I don't know, Nevada. Gee, what's in Nevada? I don't know. Maybe California. Maybe to Ohio. Maybe to Pennsylvania. Regardless.
New Mexico's beautiful this time of year.
Because you know me. I like to get away from the radio station all the time. I'm always out of here. I'm never here.
And 905 gone.
Yes. Well, not only that, but you know, vacation. I use all my vacation all the time. Mm-hmm. So. In fact, I wish they'd give me more because I use it so much. Well, regardless of that, at 580KIDO. So I'm ready to book this imaginary trip with my imaginary friends, and all of a sudden I get the, your credit card's declined.
What?
Yes. And so I said, my credit card's declined, and boy, that is so embarrassing when that happens.
Well, yeah.
I remember a few years ago here, I would walk around with three or four of them. I learned it from our promotions person, who we went out to lunch one time, and he said, here, try this card. I go, what are you doing? He goes, well, you know, these rotating balances, sometimes I can't keep up. I go, really? And he said, yeah. So I started doing that. And it works, really. You make a couple calls to make sure you have enough money in there. And I've been trying to manage my money doing the Dave Ramsey, and I didn't really think I had a problem. So I called Capital One. They go, you're past due. And I go, you're past due? What do you mean you're past due? And I said, I never got a bill. Well, it says right here, April 4th, you owe $70. And I go, I owe $70. You never sent me the statement, and if you did, I never received it. Well, we've stopped your card until you pay it. And I said, oh, did you inform me of that? No. Now, where's our $70? And I go, you're not getting $70. They said, if you give us $70 by Friday, we'll be able to turn your card back on. I go, by Friday, you'll be able to turn it on. You never should have turned it off. And I said, this is a pretty petty policy that if you miss a $70 minimum payment, $20 thing, that you shut the card off. And I thought to myself, what a lousy way to do business. Is all of that the way it goes?
I don't know. I just try to keep mine over the limit, so that way I can't use them. there's another bank, and I won't mention which one, Bank of America, that they're notorious for changing the look of their bills.
Right.
So 1 month it comes in a little envelope, the next month in a long envelope. 1 month it has red on the bill, the next month it doesn't, it's gray. And so sometimes you'll get it and you think, oh, it's junk mail.
Right.
But it's not. It's a bill because they changed the look of it from the month before. I hate that. So you have to look at everything they send you just to make sure it's not the bill.
Right.
So I don't know. It's a little deceptive to me. So did you get it figured out? Are you going to like California or something?
I don't know. Maybe I'll go to Idaho Falls. Maybe I'll go to Nevada. Maybe I'll go to Montana. I don't know.
That'd be good. Montana would be good.
Really? What would you recommend?
Glacier National Park.
Really?
In a heartbeat.
Yeah, you always do that.
In a heartbeat. That's God's country. That's
right.
Just gorgeous up there. Yeah, I'd recommend Glacier. You and the wife in Glacier. That'd be fantastic. Well, you might want to wait a while. I think they're still under snow. In fact, there's been 11 inches of snow, probably more now up at Brundage in the past couple of days. So you may want to wait on that Nevada or that Montana trip.
Right. So what about Missoula? What about Billings?
Head south.
South.
You need to head south where it's warmer. See, if you head south now, it's warmer. It's not hot. It's just nicer.
Really?
Too late here. It gets too hot to go south.
Yeah. Phoenix, Arizona on your way to Tacoma.
Yeah, if you're taking whatever airline.
Philadelphia to Atlanta, L.A.
Yep, that would be that'd be
Northern California, where the girls are warm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, maybe California.
I don't know. But anyway, so you know that's so frivolous. The big news of the day, obviously, Cliven Bundy and his unfortunate comments concerning African Americans.
Yeah.
Not good for Mr. Bundy.
Well, you know, here's the problem with this. You know, and whether what he said, why he meant what he said, if he meant it, it's going to take because the media will take it and run it to run him downhill to take the eye off the message and the land grab that's going on there.
All right, let's be politically incorrect here at 580KIDO. And this is Kevin Miller. Hello, everyone. Being politically incorrect on this. Does that really matter what he said? Does that really matter? Look, his views on this, that, and that, does that really matter, getting back to your point, on taking away the issue that the BLM all of a sudden is, you know, acting like the IRS or whatever?
No, it does not take away from it, but it will, because the media will use it to focus in on a 67-year-old guy's comments and the fact that he's a cowboy hat wearing a white hat all of a sudden. Now, they're mentioning every time that he wears a white hat.
Not a black hat.
No, it's a white hat. So they're
what was that about?
No, I'm just saying that you know they're going to focus in on that, and it draws attention away from the issue that's going on down there, right or wrong. And I'm not quite sure, you know, at this point, if it's right, if it's wrong, if he's right or he's wrong. But I think it's an issue worth looking at. But the attention again will be focused more on him and what he has said as opposed to the issue.
Right. I go back to race, unfortunately, being the boogeyman in this issue. Everything's about the boogeyman. Everything's about race. And I'm thinking, here you have the government coming in here, doing all these things, and we're going to sit there and because the guy said something horrible, that now he's a racist? I mean, he's not having the Aryan Nations there at his ranch. And is that, am I showing my own racial ignorance, my own insensitivity that I'm, you know, not doing this? Here we are. Here's a little Mr. Bundy for you. You ready?
Okay.
I'm wondering, are they better off with their young women aborting their children? Are they better off with their young men in prison? And are they better off with the older people on the sidewalks in front of their government-issued homes with a few children on them? Are they better off? Are they happier than they was when they was in the South?
And here he uses the N-word, but not that N-word, at 580KIDO. And it comes to the point where, you know, you have the United Negro College Fund, that now they call themselves UNCF, I believe. But, I mean, is that term inappropriate? I don't think if you're using it in a disrespectful way, I mean, that was in our textbooks.
I think it's a generational thing. Right. I think somebody who's nearly 70, it's not uncommon for them to use that terminology.
Not the bad N-word.
No, not the bad.
But see, you don't even want to say it.
Well,
just
to say Negro.
Right, the term Negro. So
I think that's a generational thing, I think.
Well, let's take a listen.
You know,
it seemed like a good idea at the time.
Oh, I didn't understand those people very much. I couldn't understand. They were burning their own.
Never say those people.
No, that's bad to say about anything. If you're talking about radio people, you know, those people, it suddenly separates you out as if you're something different. Those people in radio.
Those people, yeah. Never good.
Yeah, it's never good to use that terminology on anything.
You see, I should be down there helping Mr. Bundy. If I were his press agent, this wouldn't have happened. Because you know me, I'm a very astute fellow. I'm an astute guy. I would say, Cliven, you just stick to the script. The government's bad, America good. It's kind of like Phil Robertson. And I write about this on the Kevin Miller Cliven Bundy Under Siege Hot List edition, where it's just like Phil Robertson, where he starts talking about, you know, his life and his racial views, that has nothing to do with Duck Dynasty.
Yeah. But people will attach it, and it'll be attached to what you do. I got into a conversation with somebody yesterday, and they were talking about, you know, his racism and the racism of cowboys. And I said, whoa, 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 whoa.
Man, that's not cool.
I said, before you start calling cowboy racists, there was a higher percentage of cowboys in the 1800s than any other field. I think it was 1 in 5 cowboys in the West were black.
You know what they say, cowboy, take me away.
In fact, cowboys were the ones who invented bulldog in that whole event in rodeo. It was the black cowboy community who invented that participation. But, you know, so I said, before you start just saying because somebody's a cowboy, I said, that's
why do you talk to people in this building?
They come talk to me, Kevin. They come talk to me.
They're idiots, those people. Those people.
Those people are. Don't use that term, those people. Not on anything. Traffic now, Kevin, as you're coming out of...